You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota political leaders played big on the national scene this election cycle. President-elect Trump has selected Governor Kristi Noem as the nation's Homeland Security Secretary. Plus, U.S. Senator John Thune has been chosen as Majority Leader in the U.S. Senate. Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen is co-host of the weekly political podcast Dakota Town Hall, and he's our Dakota political junkie this week. I talked with him before those announcements were finalized. He stepped into our SDPB Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. All eyes are on the headline notification that pops up and tells you something. And did you see this? Did you see this? And this is very reminiscent of the first Trump administration where we saw internal leaks. The Supreme Court Dobbs decision leaked early. So as we look at some of the election, what happens next, we are already seeing information is really important and everybody's got something to say, but nobody's really talking.
No one's got anything to say.
What have you noticed about some of the response to, you know, who Donald Trump is going to choose, who the president-elect, I should say, is going to choose to come with him to the White House? Does it feel like deja vu?
Oh, for sure. So much of this feels like deja vu. But, you know, leaks has also become a hard word to define. It's been weaponized based on what side you're on is insulting. But let's just say what side you're on, right? So, like, there's the press you want and the hacks you don't, and then the editorial that both sides are trying to plant. And then and this is fair with every administration. When there's a transition, there's jockeying, and you need the reporter to leak this or that. But it certainly got gasoline on it with this new administration coming in, it seems.
All right. Everybody wants to know in South Dakota what happens to Governor Kristi Noem now that President-elect Trump is set to go back to the White House. And we have a little more information, even though it's not confirmed. Department of Homeland Security. That surprise you?
Yes. Yes, because only there, you know, the Dakota Scout had come out last week and said there was going to, you know, she was going to stay here. She had done an interview, you know, I like being governor, which is, of course, what you say. There was also speculation on interior agriculture, something, you know, maybe a little more experienced in a South Dakota governor's tenure. But there's also this, you know, the deportation and the Trump fan base needs some meat to be thrown to them, and I think Governor Noem is going to be good at that rhetoric.
So she built her reputation on loyalty to the president, and even in her most challenging public controversy, which is when her second book came out and the book tour was cut short and people were looking at the story of her shooting her dog, she was positioning it as, I'm not afraid to do the hard thing. And so in some ways, that does lead to the Department of Homeland Security, perhaps in some uncomfortable ways, and perhaps in some very predictable ways. What do you think that selection says about how President-elect Trump sees Kristi Noem and her reputation in the public spotlight?
I think it fits some of the other picks. I think if you look at, you know, the UN pick, these border czar picks, it's the more theatrical version of what the campaign was. And then you see Rubio as a Secretary of State pick. And so, you know, one would assume the kind of the Wall Street transition team that's been put in charge of this is seems like they're doing, you know, I don't mean to be dismissive to Homeland Security, but some of the more vitriolic end of Trump's campaign goes to picks like that, and then maybe some of the more establishment's a bad word right now, but establishment picks go into the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense.
We're also hearing the New York Times reporting, and as of note, we are recording this on Tuesday, and we're airing it on Wednesday, so this could
change. Could be wrong in 24
10 times
hours.
By the time that we go to air with this, but we're also hearing reported from the New York Times that people familiar with the inside conversation say some of future president's advisors do not want him to sit back and let South Dakota Senator John Thune take leadership role in the Senate. And so we also are waiting to hear who will lead the Republican Party in the U.S. Senate and whether or not it will be South Dakota Senator John Thune.
It seems hard to think it won't be Thune, given the amount of money that he put into Republican campaigns and to help, you know, candidly helping Trump have a very clear victory this campaign season. It seems the more, you know, entertaining end of the Trump world could get it done, because a lot of it is driven by, you know, the internet and social media. But it just seems like this is one of those times where he's got it locked up. But that could be wishful thinking, because we're all from South Dakota.
All right. So let's talk about other things that you noticed now that we've had a few days, a long weekend perhaps, to process some of the wins and losses of the election. What stands up to you with how South Dakotans voted last election day, a week ago now?
Oh, is it fair to say I'm disappointed in our turnout without sounding like sour grapes? I don't mean that towards one position. And, yeah. You know, certainly I worked on one of these issues. So I don't, you know, people voted and they'd certainly made their mind very clear on the positions on this election day. But overall, it was still a lighter turnout than I think we have seen in other areas. That gives me a big red flag personally.
Wait, we had a low turnout? I thought we had a high turnout.
God, I think if you compare us to other states I looked at other districts, like, it was certainly a higher turnout than the June primary of 17%. But, like, it just seems like that last little bit of engagement we should be getting from our younger South Dakotans in their 30s, it's just not there.
Yeah. Let's go straight at the issue that you were supporting and just open that door a little bit. You were for recreational marijuana, and that failed.
It sure did. Boy, did it. Sorry.
So most of this hour is actually spent with people who did not have a super successful election day.
Is it Loser Wednesday?
It is not Loser Wednesday.
I'm so happy to be on Loser Wednesday,
Let's
Laurie.
Call it What's Next Wednesday. However, what happened? What happened that you find relevant? Is this a money issue? Is this a, hey, South Dakotans just don't want recreational marijuana issue, misinformation? As you are doing your postmortem, what are you finding?
It's certainly not one thing. It's a mixture of a lot of things. No, I don't think anybody from our camp has the idea that we thought, boy, that'd have done it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think the general consensus, and this, again, all of it sounds like finger point, none of it is there wasn't much of a yes on G campaign. And if you look at how we fared versus how they fared, if there would have been a more like how Kansas had theirs. Also, it seems like when you stack up a few of these issues against some conservatives, if abortion and recreational cannabis and a few other these things are on the same ballot initiative, conservatives tend to go generally no thank you to it all. So I certainly don't think it is the full measure of South Dakota's opinion on recreational cannabis, but I certainly think it is an indication of how conservative our voting base would like to stay.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what happens next in the medical cannabis industry without recreational, because many people who were trying to hold some space until recreational passed are now saying, this isn't worth it. What happens next for medical marijuana?
You'll see the industry shrink, certainly. You know, the state needs to remember in these instances, there's only 13,000 medical cards. That's not, you know, this is not a business. Necessarily, that, you know, contrary to popular belief of the campaign, this is not a multi-billion-dollar year industry for these people that are in it right now. So there'll certainly be some consolidation. I think there will be a huge increase in the appetite for medical cards at the same time where this legislature has some appetite for repealing medical.
All right, so what's next for you and people who want to continue to protect that or even expand it into the recreational space?
You know, ask a boxer how he feels after the fight. I don't think it's the right time to talk about the next fight. I think it's too soon to tell. I don't think there's any appetite for it in 2026. I think certainly more of the industry's appetite is focused on securing medical.
Meanwhile, we are seeing in other states challenges with competing against essentially the black market of marijuana. Even in states where it's legal, the regulations, the taxes, the, you know, the benefits, the things that people said, okay, we want, you know, to bring this in to make it a responsible, you know, business infrastructure. are losing to the nimbleness and the longevity of the underground marijuana market. How does that play out in South Dakota?
In the state of South Dakota, it's interesting. The black market plays out more. It's not, they're a legal business, but the Delta vape industry is far more influenceable into the marijuana space than the black market is here. The black market is more just in the general pipe of cannabis users, right? Those okay. That's a much bigger end of the space. That's
what,
not
what
to
is?
Say you're
okay, because yeah, I want to unspool this a little bit, because what I'm hearing again and again is people shrugging their shoulders and going, it's really easy to get anyway. So the people who want to get it already have their resources, illegal resources, but they're a little bit less upset about the loss because they're not really sure it's going to impact them. So that's why I'm asking the question. It's like, well, if people are getting it illegally who want it, they weren't necessarily motivated or disappointed by the loss. And now you're talking about the vaping industry. So help me understand how to think about this from a bigger picture.
So let's back up and look at South Dakota. Just all of the places you can get cannabis or cannabis adjacent products legally,
okay.
By the way.
Okay.
You can walk into any liquor store right now if they sell THC seltzers, and a lot of them do. And that is technically not cannabis. It is derivative of hemp. And under the U.S. Farm Bill, it is legal. You just have to be 21. You don't need a medical card. And you can walk into a liquor store and buy it today. In some gas stations and some smoke shops and, you know, these the ones that aren't dispensaries who put all the cartoony dispensary signs on their businesses, you can get some sort of Delta this or THC that, and none of that is tested, none of that is regulated. A lot of those have the candy kid packaging, like the Sour Patchy type stuff as well. And the only place that you can get, now I do sound like sour grapes, like absolutely 100% safe and tested cannabis, now it's sour grapes because it's too late, is a medical marijuana card in a medical marijuana dispensary. I have no idea what the black market's doing, to be honest with you, because I'm, you know, so deep into the legal end of this. I don't think the black market cares what I think, but
yeah. And I don't know either. I just know people are saying that to me. People are saying, you can get it anywhere. I'm like, but, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, people are saying a lot of things right now
on a lot of topics,
okay, you know.
Yeah. All right. What else comes to mind from this election that you think we will see heading into the next legislative session? Because there are some interesting leadership decisions, and it's a little hard to predict.
Maybe it's easy to predict.
Yeah. Well, what's next for 2025 legislative session?
I thought your interview with Tony Van Isen was spot on. I thought he had a lot of insight on it. I think this new leadership, which also has a lot of freshmen incoming, they've got a little bit to prove. They want to show everybody that they're, I think, in charge. They're going to influence who's going to be lieutenant governor. They certainly voted for their people in the who's going to run the Senate and the House. They're going to put their slate of bills up and give it a push.
Yeah. Anything that you see so far, themes that are coming out as I talk to people, are education,
school vouchers.
Yeah. School choice,
property tax discussions, caps and limits. I don't know. I think they're all kind of related because everybody's going to have a bond vote coming up. You know, I think you're going to also see some more theatrical, less maybe constitutional style legislation that are gonna, you know, keep the Facebook groups happy.
What do they do with so-called landowner rights? You know, referred law 21, now they come back, they get another crack at having that conversation. Do they have it at all?
No.
Or does that just go away?
Goes away for a while.
Yeah,
that's who's gonna talk about that in peer?
Well,
we're going to talk about it. That's it.
How about abortion? Do you see lawmakers discussing anything or other social issues that they feel need to be strengthened from their perspective?
That seems logical. You know,
I'm nothing if not logical.
They have
Murdoch.
Such a state, you know, they soundly won. No, you know what I mean? That might not be my end of the Republican Party. I guess at this point, the most moderate member of the Republicans at this point, but they certainly have a majority, and I think they intend to use it.
All right. So I ask the Democrats, what's next for your party? I'll ask you, what's next for moderate Republicans?
There's, you know, there's a lot of people that I think are into this that are a little newer. You know, they tend to think an election is over after the election. I thought Tony had a really good point. There's no end of these topics. Abortion is not going anywhere. It will certainly be a matter of conversation in this session. I also think the conversation of how ballots get on the block of voting is going to be a big topic for everybody.
Yeah. And then Rick Wallen said that is definitely where his organization is going to focus next. And my interview with him this hour just...
It is What's Next Wednesday.
It is What's Next Wednesday. All right. Anything else that's next for you? What's next?
You know, so many people are, you know, you're either just so depressed right now or you're so happy because you like you won the Powerball, of the political Powerball. I guess I would... Isn't it the time to remind everybody to get involved in your community and quit trying to be right one way or the other? And isn't that the path? That's the path, right?
Yeah. Let's leave it there.
All right.
That's the path. Get involved. Listen to one another. We live in a democracy where we make policy with people we don't agree with all the time.
At least for a little while longer, Lori.